Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Not great, Bob.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, October 25, 2022. And this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi. Day 644 of the Biden-Harris administration. 14 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at the Bob Seska, Twitter @BobSeska_go, and our Patreon is BobSeskaShow.com. Plus, you can follow Buzz Burbank at Michael J. Elston on Twitter. Link in the description. And look, he's sitting right over there.
When you say Buzz Burbank.
All right.
You've said it all.
Hi.
Oh, man, I'm excited. I just received a pardon for last week's monologue.
Nice.
I realize that's an admission of guilt. hi, everybody. He's Bob. I'm Buzz. And we're both now in the running for British Prime Minister. Have you scanned the headlines lately?
Man,
things are dark. If things get any darker, it's going to be a streaming series. And finally, Adidas finally got around to firing the anti-Semitic Kanye West.
Yes.
Now, this is an important lesson. If you're going to kick somebody to the curb, you want to have good arch support. I hear some of the airlines are canceling some of their flights.
Mm-hmm.
They say Ron DeSantis has been cutting into their business. More nonstops daily. The bad news is Hurricane Ian has caused a rise in flesh-eating bacteria.
Ew.
Ew, David.
The really bad news, it keeps spitting out the Republicans. So what good is it really? This coming Monday, finally, it's here. This coming Monday, Halloween is finally upon us. And you know what that means. Time to dig up Ivana.
Gross.
And Lindsey Graham this week asked the Supreme Court not to make him testify about the election interference in Georgia.
Jesus.
The senator believes certain things should not be revealed. Plus that whole election interference thing.
More music, the Bob Seska Show.
Here comes Rocky Mountain Mike kicking off a brand new week on the show. Here we go.
I hear the Trump's fuming again tonight, but he has only bitches about the workings of our nation. He's given us an awful fright. His big fat lips, they say words that make me want to try starvation. He's just an old man who's in the way. I'm hoping they'll find his older tax returns or ancient tapes of BB.
Lordy, please.
I want to turn to him and say, prison boy, it's waiting there for you.
Hell yeah.
That your crooked congressman could ever do. Just take your plane out of America. Gonna take some time to get some things we never had.
Oh, yeah.
Yay.
Right. talking about, Mike. That's a brand new version of that song.
Fresh.
Yeah, yeah. I think this has to do with Trump Force One.
Yes, that could clearly be it. Yeah, he mentioned his plane. Absolutely.
Oh, there were still some more words in there. Sorry, Mike. Rocky MNT and Mike on Twitter. How are you? How's it
going? I'm well, thank
you.
All right, I'm very, very well. And you?
I'm doing okay. I'm feeling optimistic this week. And
good.
That's a good thing, because I think last week, and in fact, I heard about it from some of our Patreon subscribers. Oh my God, Bob, you were so grim and Debbie Downer on the show last week. Wow. But you know what? We keep it real here. If we're feeling like things are moving in the wrong direction, we're going to give it to you straight. We're not going to candy coat anything. So that's the that's the thing.
Just like the people listening to us, we have ups and downs, you know, and there are reasons that things happen, as you know, in the news that make us up or down. And we've been up and down a lot lately. It's been a roller coaster for the last 7 years now.
Oh, yeah.
I think I would describe myself as hopeful, but nervous. I'm nervous and hopeful. Those are the words I would describe. I wish I could be more optimistic, especially from my vantage point here in Florida.
Yeah.
Because I think the campaigns that I've poured so much money and support into are going to lose. And I'm very disheartened about that and a bit disillusioned and feeling a bit hopeless about that. But that's just Florida. The struggle is still underway here. And I want to assure the rest of the country that there are lots of Democrats here. We ran into a lady yesterday who... We saw a Charlie Crist sticker on her car, and so Marcia says something to the lady like, you know, thanks for that or whatever, and a discussion among the three of us ensued, and she pointed out that just under the Charlie Crist sticker on her car was where someone had keyed her car.
Classic.
Which just underscores the meanness and destructive nature of red hats, and a reminder of what we're surrounded by here. But I want to assure the rest of the country that 40% of us are Democrats. Please go easy on us.
Well, here's something fun you can do if you see a guy in traffic with a Ron DeSantis bumper sticker on his car. You pull up alongside him at the stoplight and you roll down your window and you sort of do the gesture for having to have him roll down his window. And what you do is you shout over to him, hey, some prankster put a DeSantis bumper sticker on your car.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. I can't speak for the rest of the country, but down here in Florida, that could get you shot. So
Florida.
It's a reminder. The keying of the car underneath the Crist sticker is a reminder of just how nasty it is out there and just how angry the opposition is. Their anger is different from ours, I think. There are reasons, though, to be optimistic from a national standpoint.
Good Lord, yes.
I'm hopeful and nervous. That's where I am.
Well, here's a couple of reasons for you. First of all, the Trump Organization criminal trial has begun. They're in jury selection right now. It's not going to be something that's going to zip on by. This will be something that we can actually watch and savor because, once again, it's in the journey with a lot of these things. As long as Trump is shitting his pants and stressed out about some sort of legal peril, that's great by me, irrespective of whether he's ultimately found liable or convicted. It's about the stress that he has to go through. That's fun for me.
It is, and we can certainly be happy about that. My focus is on this election that's coming up in, a couple of weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks from today. In fact, record-breaking early turnout. That's something else to look forward to.
That's good.
MAGA voter intimidation has been caught on camera. They're policing this now. I imagine at some point the FBI may step in to help police some of these things. They should.
I saw that. I saw the paramilitary uniforms and the guns. Yeah, I saw it.
Ted Cruz got booed out of New York City. Marco Rubio got caught in a lie defending his neo-Nazi canvasser. I mean, there's lots of things to be excited about, cautiously optimistic about. I would say that's the best way to describe my mood, optimistic.
It's funny the different kinds of concern you hear from progressives around the country. People in blue states worry that their vote doesn't count because it's, you know, their state, California, I'm talking about California here, their state is a foregone conclusion. A lot of Democrats say, well, you know, I voted, but I don't know what difference it'll make because we're, you know, already solidly blue. I think it does make a difference. And then likewise, there are people in states, red states like this one, Florida, where Democrats are still voting. They're still trying, even though they know there's not an iceberg chance in hell of beating the system that's set up here. And Democrats aren't losing on the issues, in my opinion. They're losing because of extreme gerrymandering, extreme cheating, especially under Ron DeSantis. Charlie Crist will get to this, but pointed out the vote denialism of DeSantis. Regarding Trump, I can only hope that his discouragement of Republican voters by saying the system is rigged and that this election is rigged, I can only hope that he is discouraging Republicans from voting. I don't know if it's working for us or not, but it's something that we could be optimistic about if it's working.
The other thing that I'm noticing, too, that I find immensely frustrating, and this may be one of the things that we're running up against, one of the impediments along the way toward retaining some sort of majority in Congress, and that is that there's this feedback loop with the political news media. There's a whole lot of reporting on what voters think, on poll results, and of course the usual thing that we see where reporters go into predominantly red districts and they talk to people in the diners and so on. Voter X says, I'm pissed off about gas prices because of Joe Biden. And what happens is, though, the press says, okay, voters are pissed off about inflation and they're blaming Joe Biden. Then voters read that and think, okay, we're supposed to blame Joe Biden if we're pissed off about inflation and gas prices. And then the loop keeps going and going and going. That is not, to me, that's not a valid peg for a story. The story should be, the story about inflation should be why it's happening, how it can be solved, and what it is in the first place. And that's the story. It's not, you don't want to continuously report on the ridiculous half-baked biases of just average low information voters milling around in the streets. It's just a ridiculous way to go about your journalism.
Well, that's what the media should be doing. That's what they should be reporting. But, Bob, that kind of information is boring. It's not nearly as exciting.
It doesn't
grab people's attention the way this other stuff does. And what you also just correctly pointed out was the worst aspect of this loop. Yes, there is a loop, and the worst thing about it is it's incomplete and inaccurate. The story that's being looped is incomplete. You're not hearing the whole picture, and it's distorted. It's a distorted picture as well. Yeah. So it's not all there, and it's not all true. In fact, sometimes it's the opposite of the truth because it doesn't include all of the truth. It's a lie by omission at that point. And this is the job of the news media, is to report the things, the things you listed there, the actual facts of the matter, why it exists, and all of that, and where it exists, all of those things. But again, the media finds that, is afraid that would be too boring for the audience. And so they go with something more attention grabbing. Like these stories they keep looping.
We were getting scolded on Twitter by some reporters who were like, hey, you know what? You don't want to diminish the opinions of voters when they say gas prices are more important than, you know, preserving democracy. First of all, I don't run the DNC. I don't run the Democratic Party. I don't run any campaigns. It's up to the campaigns to lump in the issues and speak to people's biases and concerns. It's my role to say, here's the priorities as I see them. Number one priority has got to be, and this is an ongoing given, climate crisis. Just make that the top thing. And then everything below it, starting with saving democracy, restoring some semblance of stability to our government and to our elections. These are all things that are high priorities. Gas prices are going to get resolved. Inflation is going to get resolved. In fact, speaking of inflation, we have some really great news today out of the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, predicts a significant drop in inflation within the next year inside the United States. Major drop in U.S. inflation is coming, according to the IMF, as well as the fixed income markets. IMF forecasts U.S. inflation back to normal levels around 2% annually within a year. Markets predicting biggest drop in inflation since 2008. Jesus.
I know. But the media isn't reporting that. They're reporting, hey, gas prices are high. They keep repeating the high gas prices and the high grocery prices. Mm-hmm. And they are not reporting this news. And so as wonderful as this news is, and as true as it likely is, I'm afraid it comes too little too late and that it won't get through. I mean, it's our job to keep hammering it, especially between now and Election Day. I think we have to try. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good thing to keep putting out there. In fact, I'd recommend that our listeners run with that.
Oh, yeah.
That we are looking at a return to normal, a return to normal 2% inflation.
Yep.
And while still reminding people that this is not the only country that has it. And in fact, most of the industrial countries, the United States has a lower rate of inflation than the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. And perhaps we can thank Joe Biden for that.
Plus, couple it with the notion that the only Republican economic plan is to block the raising of the debt ceiling, which would create an economic calamity for the United States that would make gas prices look orgasmic by comparison. That is the only thing that the Republicans have proposed about the economy.
Right. And the reason they proposed it, that's a bargaining chip. What they're saying, what the Republicans are saying here is we'll shut this mother down if you don't make cuts in Medicare and Social Security.
Yep.
That's what this is about. The Republicans have generated this to use as leverage to shut down the government and cause economic chaos, cause the government to default on its loans, to lose its great credit rating. The Republicans are willing to trash all of that if they don't get their cuts in Medicare and Social Security.
That's right.
Which is why I posted yesterday the Republican plan, in quotes, to fix, in quotes, the economy is to cut Social Security and Medicare.
Yep.
And I think we need to keep hammering at those things.
Well, two things.
So we've given, we've got some good tools here to use. We don't have a lot of time to use them, but the fact that where the economy is headed, that 2% prediction, the fact that we're lower than the rest of the world, the fact that things are economically are better than the media is making it out to be. It's our job. It's on us, as I reminded you last week, to get out that word between now and through Election Day.
So swing voters are thinking about punishing the Democrats because they're pissed off about gas prices. And the punishment is to elect Republicans who want to do one of two things. Either cut Social Security and Medicare, or default on our debt, which would cause an economic meltdown inside the United States. So there's your choice. You either have competent Democrats doing what they can for a problem that's really being driven by global markets, and which the presidency and Congress really can't do much about when it comes to inflation. All right, so you have that. You have the Democrats. Mm-hmm. That's choice number one. Choice number two, kill Social Security and Medicare, or default on our debt, melting down the economy. That's your choice. And to go with the Republican side of that, Trumpism and all of that insane bullshit aside, that is an easy choice to make as far as I'm concerned.
And because we cannot count on our scattered media, it's on you and me and Bob to get out and to keep getting out these words here between now and through Election Day.
Exactly. So let's talk about Florida. Let's talk about the gubernatorial debate last night between Ron DeSantis and Charlie Crist. I don't think there was any contest here. This was a Charlie Crist victory across the board. He is going to get a bounce from this, maybe a couple of percentage points, maybe just one percentage point. But guess what? Mm-hmm. One percentage point is how elections are decided these days. And so that matters. The performance last night by Charlie Crist matters.
I think he did everything he needed to do, everything you would want him to do, everything he was supposed to do, and I think he did it very well.
The big takeaway moment from last night's debate was Charlie Crist painting Ron DeSantis into a corner and DeSantis just freezing.
Yes. I mean, that's the KO.
Let's play this moment because it's fun and it's funny and it reminds me of something from the Brady Bunch. We'll get to that. Get to that in a second.
Yeah, I had fun live tweeting coverage of the Chris DeSantis debate last night, and it's a pretty fast read. The Chris DeSantis debate has begun to a raucous crowd. It's being moderated by conservative Sinclair Broadcasting. And then this won't be in order. Governor DeSantis wins a round of boos at his debate with Charlie Crist after blaming Biden for high gas prices.
Right.
Charlie Crist hits DeSantis for poor hurricane preparation, doubled property tax rates, and for focusing on a presidential run. That was an excellent hit by Crist. DeSantis blames local leaders for any lack of preparation for Hurricane Ian. He backpedaled right after that, but he did do that. Mm. DeSantis calls Crist a worn-out old donkey, and I think that's where we're up to the tape now.
Yeah, let's play Ron DeSantis calling Crist a worn-out old donkey. Here we go.
The only worn-out old donkey I'm looking to put out to pasture is Charlie Crist.
Yeah, whoa. Well, Ron, we know you love to bully people, and the little name-calling you just exchanged, I can take it. But you shouldn't do it when children are standing behind you at a press conference and they're wearing a mask. Mm-hmm.
He's good. Yeah. He's good.
But apparently that's your nature, and that's too bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a full Trumpism thing that DeSantis did right there, going with the name-calling, because that's the childish form of politics that they play with.
And the base loves that.
Yeah, I thought Charlie Crist was, again, speaking to the normals, which is the only thing you really can do in the face of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best you can do. We, in our exchange with the Crist supporter in a parking lot yesterday, we all agreed that cruelty was, in fact, the point.
Right, right.
And also in my coverage, Crist blames DeSantis for the exodus of more than 9,000 teachers from the state of Florida.
Wow.
And he tied it to critical race theory and the pandemic and a number of other things, DeSantis' handling thereof. Mm-hmm. Crist repeats DeSantis' support for taking away a woman's right to choose. Crist opened with this, and he pounded it again and again, as any good voting Democrat would want him to do. Crist would not let up on DeSantis' support for taking away a woman's right to choose. In a discussion of critical race theory, DeSantis says it's not true that the country was built on stolen land.
That's a gigantic lie.
I think there's some Seminole folk here in Florida that would take issue, who would take issue with that.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Even the old school history talked about that. This isn't some sort of woke history we're talking about. I mean, we learned in second grade that in come the Pilgrims and in come the Europeans, and they took all the land from the Native Americans. That's always been the thing.
A spectator shouts liar when Ron DeSantis falsely claims that a 15-week-old's fetus sucks its thumb. Earlier in the debate, DeSantis refused to say whether he would serve and this was the big one. DeSantis refused to say whether he'd serve an entire 4-year gubernatorial term without abandoning it for a presidential run.
Okay.
That was the KO moment for Charlie Crist.
Yeah, let's talk about Ron DeSantis' Baton Rouge moment. Marsha?
Baton Rouge.
Those of you who've seen The Brady Bunch know exactly what I'm talking about. There was an episode of The Brady Bunch where Cindy Brady gets selected to go on a quiz show for children, and she gets a big head about her. She gets like a celebrity ego on her. Like she's the greatest, and she thinks she's awesome. And then she actually goes on the show, and they ask her the question. I think the question was, what's the capital of Louisiana? And she looks into the camera and totally freezes, exactly like Ron DeSantis last night. And then at home, Marsha's watching, and she says,
Baton Rouge.
trying to coax her with the answer.
Ron, you talk about Joe Biden a lot. I understand. You think you're going to be running against him. I can see how you might get confused. But you're running for governor. You're running for governor. And I have a question for you. You're running for governor. Why don't you look in the eyes of the people of the state of Florida and say to them, if you're reelected, you will serve a full 4-year term as governor. Yes or no?
Staring.
Yes or no, Ron? Will you serve a full 4-year term if you're reelected governor of Florida? It's not a tough question. It's a fair question. He won't tell you.
That reminds me of, I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. You, Senator, are no Jack Kennedy from that 1988 Benson Quayle debate. Remember that?
Yeah, it was. I do, and that was historic. I mean, he had him on the ropes, and Chris just kept pummeling him.
Yeah,
that was excellent.
Let's play this again. I want to hear the pregnant pause one more time here.
And say to them, if you're reelected, you will serve a full 4-year term as governor. Yes or no?
Baton Rouge.
Yes or no, Ron? Will you serve a full 4-year term if you're reelected governor of Florida?
Baton Rouge.
It's not a tough question. It's a fair question. He won't tell you.
I laughed so hard I pulled my headphones out of the jack.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a dramatic effect.
Sorry about that. Yeah, so there you go. That's the moment that will be captured, I think, in 1,000 different campaign ads between now and 2 weeks from now. I hope, at least, because that's the kind of politics that needs to be played with this modern Republican Party. There's no other option here. You know, you go at a Republican with some, in this sort of context, go at them with some sort of policy debate, that's going to fail. What you need to do is humiliate them. Bait them into a position exactly like Charlie Crist just did with Ron DeSantis. He fell apart like a house of cards. It was an amazing thing to behold.
Yeah, he froze. He was frozen. I mean, it's even better to see him. But as Bob said, you can just tell from the pauses that he is frozen at that moment.
Yeah.
It's kind of a half smile that he's frozen into, but no reply at all, as Phil Collins would say.
Yes, and guess what else? You know the theory that I've been talking about for the last, I don't know, month or so, the Fred Thompson effect when it comes to Ron DeSantis, where I theorized a few weeks ago that as soon as Ron DeSantis entered the national stage, I mean, so much of what he does right now is more or less confined to Florida. I don't think people in Iowa or New Hampshire or South Carolina are really paying a whole lot of attention to Ron DeSantis as a campaigner. I think they see him doing shitty things in Florida, and maybe they like him because of that. But as soon as he hits that national platform, as soon as he hits the debate stage, along with the other 842 Republicans who are going to run for president next year, they're going to discover that he's not the guy they thought he was, that he's a walking, talking meatball who has a thin, tiny man voice. He's got a little like a like an 11-year-old boy's voice, and he doesn't have the charisma. I mean, everyone's sort of anointing him as heir apparent to Donald Trump. He doesn't have any of the qualities that Donald Trump possesses other than the racism and other than the name calling, some of the basis of
bullying,
the Trump things.
Yeah.
But and Donald Trump has a charisma that is undeniable. I'm not saying that's a good thing as far as values go. I'm just saying that's how Donald Trump has been able to build the following that he has through that charismatic behavior. That's a very much like a faith healer or a televangelist. And you know what I noticed, too, is that after watching last night's debate, there are some people whose opinions I respect very much who are starting to agree with me about Ron DeSantis and how he's going to hit the national stage like a deflating balloon. Yeah, absolutely.
More so after last night, even there are even more people in that camp, and I totally understand that. I don't want to get overconfident about any of this stuff.
Wajahat Ali, who's been on the show several times. Okay. I love Wajahat. He said last night, DeSantis is not a national player based on tonight's debate. I know MAGA donors think he is, but he's going to wilt under those bright lights in 2024. Can't wait for him to be exposed to actual pressure. Can he win? Absolutely, especially with a thoroughly corrupt and radicalized GOP that will grab power by any means necessary. But he isn't Trump and lacks the charisma. Who's been saying that all this time?
You have, Bob. You have.
Florida loves him, sure, but I doubt the country will. That's precisely what I'm talking about.
I agree.
Plus, Fred Guttenberg said, it is truly surprising how uncomfortable Ron DeSantis looks on this debate stage. If this is what people should expect, he is not ready for a presidential stage. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. How about that?
Thank you.
Good job, Bob.
Thank you. I feel vindicated. I feel vindicated.
Stick
with me, folks. I sometimes know what I'm talking about. Sometimes. And I still believe that Trump is not going to run for president in 2024. We're going to talk about that coming up here in a second, because guess who else agrees with me on that?
Well, me, because I think I was one of the first to say it. But
yeah, you, Hal Sparks, Kimberly Johnson, Mary Trump.
Oh, really?
Cool. Yeah, and now joined by Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen agrees with us that Trump will not run for president in 2024, and his reasons are very similar to my reasons. We're going to talk about that here coming up in just a second. Plus, Trump threatened reporters with prison rape. These are the reporters who are actively saying that, well, you know, Trump's kind of normal. I mean, we're going to just cover
sides,
Trump like
sides.
A normal guy. Yeah, both sides. I mean, Trump's being crazy, but so are the Democrats. They're being crazy, too, just like Trump. No. Guess what? They're coming after you first. You're the enemies of the people, according to them. The first people that will be blackbagged and arrested under a fascistic Trump regime or whatever copycat walks into his shadow.
Yes.
And so we'll talk about this. And Trump saying it outright at his rally the other night. Plus, one of the many interesting things that Trump told Bob Woodward that we now have the tapes of. Right. I'm not going to play the tape, but I've got the transcript of a discussion between Trump and Woodward about Trump's so-called plan to fight COVID.
Yes.
This is about 106 days out from the 2020 election. And he still hadn't devised anything. So we're going to talk about that, too, and a whole lot more coming up on our big Tuesday show. But first, if you're pissed off at the people I was just talking about, if you're pissed off at cable news and other very serious political analysts these days, here's a great way to support independent media, specifically this podcast. For just $5 per month, you can support our Patreon page as we guide you through the madness and chaos of our politics. But it's not just about supporting shows like this one. You're also going to get bonus content as a reward for your monthly support. We're talking about exclusive access to our Shadow Docket show, recorded after the end credits on our Tuesday and Thursday shows. You also get access to the Patreon app, where you can download the free show and our bonus content. Plus, you can join the discussion with our community of Patreon members in the comments under each show. And speaking of that, let's talk about our brand new Patreon members. Paul Thoreau, Carolyn Bigelow, Julie, Mark Grossman, Michael Ziskin, all brand new to the roster of our Patreon members. So be like them. Sign up right now. Support this show for $5 per month, just pennies per episode. Don't miss out. BobSeskaShow.com. Bookmark it. Send it to all your friends. And we thank you in advance.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Bob Seska!
That's a brand new single from the great Dave Bolter.
Baton Rouge.
It's called Trainwreck. Like Ron DeSantis in the debate last night. Trainwreck. That kind of trainwreck. DaveMolterMusic.com. Link in the description, of course. BobSeska.com/music to submit your work to the show. If you happen to be a musician, if you're in a band, and you've got a demo, you've got singles that you're releasing, send them here. We'd love to play them. Thank you in advance for doing that. Okay, getting back into things here on our Tuesday show. So Trump threatened reporters with prison rape for leaking information. He was talking about the Supreme Court leak. Notice how he talks in this clip. I found this interesting. In fact, I think I kind of nailed what he's doing. He does this thing where he jumps back and forth from the prompter to commenting on what he's seeing on the prompter.
Right. He reacts to it. He reads something and then he reacts to it like a child.
Yes, exactly. Or like he's reading the text of a book and constantly jumping down to the footnotes. which right. is a terrible way to tell a story if you're jumping back and forth between the actual narrative and the footnotes. Well, regardless, this is Donald Trump threatening reporters with rape at his rally over the weekend. Yes, please keep going into diners and empowering these people.
You know, in this country, they leak all over the place, even on the Supreme Court. By the way, you have to find the leaker of the Supreme Court. You have to find the leaker.
You have to find
you
the leaker.
You know how you find the leaker? They'll say, oh, this is treasonous, what I said. So they can't find the leaker. He leaked all about Roe
all about.
V. Wade. Look, this person leaked from the Supreme Court. Never happened. You know how you find? But they don't want to mention this because they think it's so terrible.
Oh, my God. He's so wow. stoned. He is so high as a kite. It is unbelievable. The amount of stimulants running through his aging veins at that moment. Incredible. Listen to how fast he talks.
Is that the Adderall? Is that what this is?
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah, Randy Rhodes thinks it's straight up meth. I tend to disagree with that, but it's at least Adderall or at least some kind of crushed up Sudafed or some shit.
Leaked all about Roe v. Wade. Look, this person leaked from the Supreme Court. Never happened. You know how you find? But they don't want to mention this because they think it's so terrible.
Jesus.
You take the writer.
Take the writer.
You're never going to find it. They're going through phone records. It's been a long time. You take the writer and or the publisher of the paper, a certain paper that you know, and you say, who is the leaker? National Security. And they say, we're not going to tell you. They say, it's okay, you're going to jail. And when this person realizes that he is going to be the bride of another prisoner very shortly...
Audience loves that.
He will say,
audience loves it.
Yeah. I'd very much like to tell you exactly who that leaker is. It was Bill Jones. I swear he's a leaker. And we got him. But they don't want to do that. They don't want to do that. But that's the only way you're going to find. We have to find. Can you imagine they leak?
He is so mentally screwed
He's all
up.
Over the road. Yeah, yeah he's yeah. all over the road.
All over the place. Yeah, yeah. It's like, here's another example where, you know, he did this a few weeks ago. He was talking about the N-word. He's like, you know what we say when we talk about the N-word? We're not talking about the real N-word. We're talking about something else. It's not really the N-word. But what we're saying about the N-word is the nuclear. But the nuclear, as far as Iran, the Iran deal was a disaster, such a disaster, the Iran deal. The Iran deal, John Kerry needs to be arrested. And when we say the N-word, it's just like he's up and down. He's like Jiminy fucking Glick. He is like that Martin Short character where he's up here and he's like Matthew and Modine. And then he's, right. you know what I mean? Just constantly.
Yes, I do. Exactly.
All over the place. Like he's got no control over the cadence or volume of his voice. The content of what he was saying, let that be a lesson. Let that be that if you empower these people, like some of the reporters I was seeing on Twitter over the past few days talking about, hey, you know what? Don't condescend to his supporters. Don't belittle or diminish what their concerns are. You know what? You know what that's going to get you? That sort of kid gloves behavior when it comes to the movement. Fascism. Being arrested as dissidents for opposing the regime. How many times does he have to say enemies of the people? How many times does he have to threaten you as a reporter with prison rape if you dare publish a story that's been leaked to you by a source? Unless you reveal that source, he is vowing to shove you in a prison where you are going to... Evidently, he's describing you're going to be relentlessly raped as a consequence.
It does no service to the nation for the media to keep trying to win the audience that they have long and forever lost. There's, you know, the fact that the media is trying to placate the right is a fruitless effort because it isn't going to work, and it's a disservice to the country because it's pulling punches on what should be said by journalists. I think it's journalism's job to hold government and to hold politicians, would-be governors, to account. And it's not doing that. It's just not doing it. It's broken. We can look as historically why. I still think the answer is education. It's hard to focus on that priority right now when there are so many others, but it's our failure of education that got us where we are today, because where education lacks, disinformation floods in.
And one of the things that I think that we forget about And that is, I think, merely because of the fire hose of news, because the rate at which all of the awful things come at us, it's difficult to keep all those plates spinning. But one of the things that popped off my screen this past couple of days is a transcript from a conversation between Bob Woodward and Donald Trump. Woodward just released an entire audio recording of all of his conversations with Donald Trump, or many of them, I think carefully curated to make certain points and so on. But Trump told Bob Woodward with 106 days to go before the election that he had a plan for COVID, but he wasn't going to unveil it until it was closer to the election.
Right.
Hundreds of thousands of people were dying, Americans. Mm-hmm. Trump said, Bob, you'll see the plan over the next 4 weeks. And Woodward says, this is what? And Trump says, you will see the plan, Bob. I've got 106 days. That's a long time. You know, if I put out a plan now, people won't even remember it. People won't even remember it in 100. I won the last election in the last week. Essentially saying that what he may do is save his COVID plan until the last week before the 2020 election.
Right.
Then Woodward says, no, but it's not just putting out the plan. It's executing, isn't it? And Trump said, no, I am executing it. You'll see it starting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but after it's too late, after the fucking horse has already left the gate, the pattern had been set in February, for God's sake, when he told Bob Woodward, I know about it. This is a really scary thing, but I don't want to cause a panic. I'm not going to do anything about it.
Right. And Trump must be held to account for that. I know that congressional committees are and have been investigating this to put together a report and recommended actions. I hope that leads to something. I don't know if there will ever be a criminal charge for this, but there's no question that Trump's responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths. And yet that always, not that it matters if we outvote them, but that falls on deaf ears among Trump supporters, many of whom still don't even believe there is such a disease.
Hundreds of thousands of deaths within 2020 alone in the first few weeks of 2021. Right. And then, of course, we're at well over a million American deaths now. But on Trump's watch, we're talking about 400,000, almost exactly 400,000 dead Americans during his final year in office. Just an atrocity. And the fact that he's still getting support, the fact that there's still this hands-off view of him by some in the news media, is just an amazing thing to behold, given the fact that hundreds of thousands of people died on his watch, that he established a trend in this country of, oh yeah, fuck the pandemic. Fuck the rules, fuck the protocols. We don't need any of that shit. We're not going to do that. We're going to liberate Ohio and Michigan and Virginia and make sure no one has to do the things that you have to do to be a responsible member of society. Wearing a mask when the vaccines became available, getting vaccines, social distancing, making sure to not do certain things, not to get too close.
And now it's really too late because everyone's dug in. People are in the, you and I will continue to wear masks because an epidemiologist has said it's time to mask up again. That's good enough for me. We're already seeing a rise in COVID cases while we're seeing the highest rate of influenza cases that we've ever seen at this time of year. This is for adults, a double pandemic with the SRV that you've heard about. Mm-hmm. It's a triple pandemic for children. Yeah. These are dangerous times. Those of us who I think are coming down on the side of wisdom are continuing and will continue to wear masks.
Mm-hmm. Republicans are desperately trying to shift blame onto Dr. Fauci. They're trying to say that, well,
investigate him.
Yeah, more people died under Joe Biden than Donald Trump. Well, you know what? Joe Biden's been president for longer during COVID than Donald Trump was. Second of all, it's Republicans who are mainly dying.
That's
Republicans
true.
Who refuse to get the vaccine. You know why? To own the libs, to say, fuck you, Brandon, or whatever they're saying.
Right.
That's why that's happening that way. And Donald, yes, as you said, Donald Trump set the standard. He used the presidency. He used the bully pulpit to set the trend early on. You don't have to do the right thing. And I say, as president, I say so.
Right, and he permanently screwed the pooch on this. This isn't a temporary thing. We are stuck with this. And, mm-hmm. and whether or not he's ever held a criminal account for this, I don't know. Get in line with the other prosecutors. But history will certainly make note of this. It is being investigated. There will be a final judgment on this that will go into the history books for whatever good that does us because we continue to fail to learn from past history.
Yeah. Well, when you talk about Donald Trump, you talk about his party too. He runs the party. He is the head of the party. They're all following behind him. They're all picking up at the top. Yeah, they're all copycats of Donald Trump, the entire party from top to bottom, irrespective of what they may say about him in private. In public, they're all about Donald Trump and not pissing off Donald Trump and his supporters. So consequently, the punishment for 400,000 dead Americans up to over a million dead Americans should land squarely in the laps of every single Republican in this country. And the punishment doesn't have to be criminal. It doesn't have to be legal charges filed. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. It can just be sending the Republican Party as it stands right now off to pasture. Okay, you know what? You people want to act like children. You're going to go over there in your playpen. We're going to keep you in your playpen, and you can suck on your binkies and scream all your grievances. But meantime, the adults are going to be over here. We're going to do the business of government over here. You can go fuck around over there all you want. We're not going to pay attention to you. That ought to be the attitude from American voters.
And that's the goal. But unless we fail to overwhelm the Republicans two weeks from today, the first thing they're going to do, one of the first things they're going to do, is investigate Dr. Fauci.
Right.
Impeach Joe Biden and kill Social Security and Medicare and so much more. I know there's a lot of enthusiasm out there. I'm excited about the early voting. The polls are showing it is still too close to call, which is kind of funny. And now even the pollsters are sick about it.
Mm-hmm.
They feel their hands are tied. They can't make a call here because it's too damn close. That's why every single vote counts. And we have 2 weeks to get the job done.
Well, here's something to make you feel a little better about the election. Just something I've observed over the past few days, especially, which is that Republicans think they're going to win. They're already measuring the drapes, as they say, and the Speaker of the House's office and so on. They already think that they're going to win, and they're telegraphing this attitude through cable news, through their usual sources, on down to their own voters. That is only why do you think I say don't get happy every election year? Because I'm concerned about complacency leading to diminished turnout. Plus, as I've been saying, elections are decided by 1 or 2 percentage points. At most, sometimes it's half a percentage point. And so therefore, those kinds of swings actually make a big difference in an election. All you need to do is increase turnout to 1 or 2% beyond the other guys, and you can win. And any sort of depression of that turnout could signify a massive, catastrophic loss for the Republican Party. So please keep going. Please keep telling your followers, your voters, that this is a shoo-in, that you're going to take over Congress, and then that's going to be that, and here's what you're going to do, and being overconfident in the process.
I hate to be the glass half empty guy today, because that's not usually my role, but their expression of certainty, their confidence going into this election, gives them more grounds for objecting to the results when the election is over.
Yeah.
So, be prepared for a number of eventualities here. I don't think there's anybody listening who doesn't know that this ride isn't over yet.
Right. Well, here's some other good news. Turns out Michael Cohen agrees with me. He agrees with Hal Sparks. He agrees with Kimberly Johnson. He agrees with Mary Trump. Some of us have been saying for a while now, and you've been saying it too, that Trump is not going to run in 2024.
Right.
It would be financially suicidal for Donald Trump to run in 2024, given the fact that there are, one, about 20, maybe more, legal cases stacked up against him,
mm-hmm.
of which the RNC is financing, I think minus the Mar-a-Lago espionage situation, the RNC is paying his legal bills for everything else that's on the table right now.
Wow.
If he runs for president, that goes away. They have already said, the RNC has pledged that they will no longer pay Trump's legal bills if he runs for president, because they would be playing favorites. The other candidates would want the RNC to cover their legal bills or to give them the equivalent amount of money so that it was even, and the RNC is never going to do that. So they said, well, we're just going to cut off Trump's legal bills if he runs. I think it's a backdoor way of forcing Trump out of the 2024 scenario. That's just my theory. Works. The other thing is he loses access to Save America PAC and this gigantic cash cow that he's tapped into. And that is all of these suckers who continuously are giving him money because of the big lie and Save America PAC and all the rest of it. So here's Michael Cohen describing to Reed Gallen from the Lincoln Project why Trump will not run again.
The great grift would be over. Right now, he's pulling down numbers that he's never seen, even at the height of The Apprentice. He's pulling down 150, 200 million for his super PAC, which if you read the fine print, he's permitted to use 90 cents of every dollar, 90% of all the funds at his sole discretion. He can go out tomorrow and buy himself a new airplane. He can go buy himself a house. He can do whatever he wants with that money. And it's not violative of the super PAC. So for every dollar you give, only 10 cents of every dollar goes to politics. That all comes to an end.
He sounded a little bit like Vinnie Barbarino there.
Well, yeah, I understand.
Comes down to a dollar. It's so weird.
If he makes a formal announcement. On top of that, and more importantly, or of equal import, is the fact that statistically, he knows he can't win.
Mm-hmm.
While he has significant base, and that base is waning every single day. Donald's biggest fear is being a two-time loser. You ever want to upset Donald? Call him a loser. It's a word he can't stomach. He hates it.
What was I talking about right before the 2020 election, that I was looking forward to calling Donald Trump a one-term loser on Twitter?
Then he
got banned from Twitter and social media for being a danger to society. So I was deprived of that, but then we also got him banned. So that's also good.
Knowing that he would lose and be a two-time loser, and at the same time lose the great grift and being a power player, where people have to come to kiss his ring at Mar-a-Lardo or wherever else that fucking asshole is at, stuffing his face with burgers and ice cream. That's what he wants. Now, he would prefer to be president, but only if he would be given the presidency.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to have to run for it again.
That's exactly right. Thank you, Michael Cohen.
Says who?
Good job.
I know.
You know, I like a lot of people. I'm conflicted about Michael Cohen because on one hand, he is, or at least was, a crook and a thug lawyer. He was a jerk of a lawyer. But now that he's sort of freed from all that, he's a lot of fun.
Says who?
Buzz says. He is a lot of fun. Yeah, because he knows Donald Trump. He worked in the same room with Donald Trump for many, many years. He was fucked over by Donald Trump. He knows how Donald Trump operates. He knows how Donald Trump operates from a personality point of view. He knows how he operates from a financial point of view. This guy's got his finger on the pulse of Donald Trump, which is kind of gross. I would not want to have my finger on Donald Trump's pulse. No. But regardless, I think that this goes a long way toward vindicating what I've been saying, what Hal's been saying, what you've been saying, Buzz, and so many others with regard to 2024. That's not to say that I'm complacent about this. That's not to say that I'm unprepared for the possibility that he actually will run. We have to prepare for the worst at all times. Because
campaign could be interrupted by indictment or illness. Any number of things could happen.
Well, the thing is, though, if he does run, you have to be emotionally ready for that. Yeah, and likewise, likewise, 2 weeks from tonight, if things go haywire, we have to be emotionally ready for that. And
pop off.
Yeah. And also, there's going to be a period of time, the evening of November 8th, when it's going to look like all hope is lost. It was that way in 2018. It was that way certainly in 2020, where there was a period of time where we're like, oh, fuck, what's going on?
in-person voting, where Republicans lead in numbers, will be counted first. And so that's why it will look grim. The mail-in votes, the early votes that were submitted primarily by Democrats, will be counted after that. And that, of course, unfortunately, gives them an opportunity to say, hey, we were winning and then something hinky happened and we lost.
Yes.
But we didn't really, because it was really cheating, because there were mail-in ballots and all of that. You know, we've been through this before.
Yeah.
But I think that's what I think that we can expect any version of that.
I think at the end of the day, we're going to be happy with the results. It's going to be close. It's going to be, by the skin of your teeth. But I mean, ultimately, I think it's going to turn out okay.
I think we will, you know, and this is really taking a stand, isn't it? I think we'll have some wins and I think we'll have some losses.
Oh, good. Way to go out on a limb.
you can write that down and date it.
What you don't want to do is be standing there stunned like Ron DeSantis with Marsha going,
Baton Rouge.
I'm such a nerd.
What a palooka.
All right. Well, we are way late for a break. Let's take a short break. And when we come back, I got to make fun of Larry Kudlow a little bit because
it is
so much fun. Okay, back with more show right after these words.
Bob Seska plays more music.
Says who?
Haunted by demons, they're playing rock and roll. They ask me to play this song for you.
Says who?
This is the great Matt Springfield with an assist from Michael Cohen, weirdly.
Says who?
I threw that in there. It's a song called Haunted. We play this every October for obvious reasons. This is the synth version of the song. Never be heard before here on the show. Yeah, love it.
Great song. I would like him and Michael Cohen to be my next door neighbors.
Really?
Says who?
Link in the description to support Matt Springfield. Download this song here. Again, it's called Haunted. BobSeska.com/music to submit to the show. And as I've been saying all along here, we're playing full-length versions of all these songs at the end of the free show. So stick around if you love the music. We'll give you a full taste of each of these tracks at the end of the show. Okay. Let's see. Where do we pick up? First of all, God. Oh, my God. I can't believe we waited this long to do this. Steve Bannon going to prison for 4 months for contempt of Congress. Yes. Although, I think the appeals process is going to drag out and drag out longer and longer and longer.
One of the things, his lawyers are claiming unusual cruelty in this punishment because he's only being allowed to wear one jumpsuit.
Yeah, I also saw a tweet the other day from Moving Sideways on Twitter. It's the name of the account. And they wrote about this sentence. Say what you will about Steve Bannon, but there's no denying the fact that he is by far the most successful Mucinex booger. I thought that was outstanding.
It'll be remembered and later do birthday parties and bat mitzvahs.
Okay, let's see what else is going on here. Oh, Larry Kudlow, as you know, last week.
Shouldn't we prepare a cocktail before doing the Larry Kudlow segment?
Yes, absolutely. Get your mimosas ready. Liz Truss last week resigned as Prime Minister of England after just 45 days, because her conservative supply-side economic policies turned out to be a gigantic fail. Yeah, sorry.
I saw somebody point out that's 4.1 Scaramucci, which you said.
Yeah, right. Larry Kudlow is on record back in September. Yes. I think it was September 23rd of this year, right as Liz Truss was elevated to prime minister, just absolutely praising Liz Truss's economic policies, which I love the schadenfreude of this. Here's Larry Kudlow back on September 23rd.
Greenland is a strategic place.
Wrong tape.
Up there, they got a lot of valuable minerals. I don't want to predict an outcome. I'm just saying the president who knows a thing or two about buying real estate wants to take a look at low interest rates, no inflation, virtually no inflation, Chuck Todd. So I
it's Dana
think
Perino.
It's a pretty good story. And again, let me echo my theme. Let's not be afraid of some optimism.
Don't be afraid of optimism, Buzz.
Larry, can we get you a cab? Oh, man.
I love how he refers to Dana Perino as Chuck Todd. That is the absolute best part of that tape. Here's the real tape of Larry Kudlow talking about Liz Truss's economic plan back in September.
The U.S. midterm elections cavalry arrived early in London. What do I mean by that? Well, the new British Prime Minister Liz Truss has laid out a terrific supply-side economic growth plan, which looks a lot like the basic thrust of Kevin McCarthy's Commitment to America plan. Let's start with Truss. She is slashing tax rates and deregulating energy.
I just love it.
That's the liberal business.
She's deregulating energy is what she's doing. She's
gonna, and that's the sober Larry, by the way.
Yeah, that's what's amazing. He's got a deregulated energy.
This media, this is so wonderful. The liberal business media, you know who I'm talking about, is now trashing her plan. That tells me Truss has it exactly right.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Larry.
That's how you want your economic advisor to evaluate economic data, is if the other side is saying it must be wrong. And it's the trickle down theory, and no colloquialism addresses the trickle down theory better than "Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining." Americans know very well now how the trickle down theory really works, which is that it doesn't work, and that's what Liz Truss just got kicked out of office for. That's why she had to leave in shame after a month and a half, because she tried the Republican method of trickle-down economics.
What you really want is you want to take a failed economic policy and couple that with the domestic economic policy of the Republican Party. Thank you so much, Larry Kudlow, for drawing the comparison between Liz Truss's ridiculous failed supply-side bullshit with Kevin McCarthy's new plan
for America.
2023 and on. Holy shit, that is a brilliant, brilliant bit of audio.
We should all be online and in public campaigning on that very thing. It's up to us to campaign. It's up to us to get the word out on this. Point out that Liz Truss just got her ass handed to her because she tried the Republican method, the method that Republicans want to put into effect if they win 2 weeks from today.
I mean, once again, how often do the Republicans have to be wrong about shit for people to finally figure out that they don't have anything to say about policy?
Gas prices, Bob.
Yeah, but gas prices, sure. Right. Yeah. Yes, we're angry. Gas is $3.79 a gallon. Throw the bums out. Let's have fascism instead. That's a great idea. Let's bring in these guys who have this economic policy that involves collapsing the American economy. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we need in this country, you know, to solve the economy.
Baton Rouge.
I froze there for a second.
Anything help? Yeah, it's just a sign we need help. We all clearly need help.
I was staring into the camera and Marsha had to say,
Baton Rouge.
All right. By the way, saw a poll the other day indicating that 9% of Americans think democracy is working extremely or very well. But while 52% say it's not working well, and 37% say it's working somewhat well. Sort of like making your own salad at a salad bar, then complaining about the incompetence of whoever made the salad. That's basically what we're talking about here. 9%, only 9% think it's working extremely well. When you make stupid decisions at the ballot box and then say, why are things so stupid? It's like George Carlin's garbage in, garbage out thing. These elected leaders don't appear from another dimension. We elect them, and then we put them in place, and then we go, who are these assholes?
We can only hold on to the historical truth that the Democrats aren't usually actually punished for the condition of the economy. We've got 2 weeks. It's up to us. Let's do this.
Absolutely. Okay, coming up next is the Shadow Docket portion of the program. If you're a new listener, here's what happens. This music gets done playing. We wrap up the show. For those of you who are free show listeners, you get a couple of songs that we play during the show, just clips of, and then we play the full-length songs. But then what happens is something called the shadow docket. It's actually the final third of the show. Mm-hmm. And that all happens on our Patreon page. And the only way you can listen is to sign up for our Patreon page at $5 per month. $5 per month. And you get two Shadow Docket shows every week. Plus, you get access to the comments under each episode on the Patreon page. Plus, you get the Patreon app. And plus, it's a great way to communicate with me, too. So go and do that. BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Or very easily, you can go to BobSeska.com. And just beneath the logo, you'll see the link for Patreon. And that'll take you right there so you can sign up.
It's the part of the show with the happy ending.
That's exactly right. So to speak. Kinda. All right. Shadow Docket coming up next. See you over there, folks. Bye-bye.
Seska Show.